Jesus coming back. Do you know that? And we're going to look at a few things here today that have to do about faith, that have to do with expectation. When I was talking with Eric and Tiffany, and to see yesterday two individual lives ending and then another life starting of becoming one. And we can also say that this past year, the things that have happened are now ending, and there's something greater that God wants. And I see more of a unity of the faith. I see more of grasping and comprehending what God's Word has for your life in its reality and experience. He's wanting to take you to a level of the unity of the faith, of coming together, having that solidified within your life, understanding what certain passages mean and what certain things say, for you to get the whole story and it to become applicable in your life. And that's what God wants. He's wanting just to take us from knowledge, or one of the Greek words for the word, let's say word of God, is the word logos. Logos. Any of you ever heard of logos? Okay. Logos is that which was spoken, recorded. That which was spoken, or even thought, recorded. And we have the wonderful word of God. We have the Bible there of those things which were spoken, revealed from God, and we have it written. Rhema is the other Greek word, which means that which is spoken from a living voice. Rhema is some people call it a rhema word or a living word. And God is making so many things of himself and of his word living or alive to you. And I really believe that there's a lot of people this next year, they're going to have things awakened to you. Things are going to be restored within your life. There's going to be a living reality more of Jesus Christ than you understood before. And we got a taste of it this morning in intercessory prayer. The word kabod came to me. I felt such a glorious weight, a presence, a hand. And it just, I was like, oh Lord, it's just so beautiful here this morning. I can even sense it. And it was like after prayer, the Lord was just like, don't get into any like small talk or anything right now. Just continue to acknowledge my presence, my glorious weight on you right now. And he's here right now. And we have the ability to enter in or not enter in. And, you know, I said Jesus coming back. And right now, Father, I just want to thank you that you would just guide me here this morning. Jesus, you said that the Holy Spirit is called Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Reality, bringing you, Father God, this precious word, your promises, your covenant, into a living reality in our life, able to be comprehended, able to be lived, able to draw near to you and experience. We know we're in relationship with you by virtue of your salvation that we believe, but in fellowship, partnership, communication, and communion with you. And so I thank you, Father, that for anybody here that what I've just said sounds unfamiliar or they have not entered in, I just pray for a spirit of faith by you right now, Holy Spirit, just to quicken that. This is what you're going to receive more of this year. Not all of it, more of it. We grow and we grow and we grow. And I thank you, Father, for this right now. I thank you for meeting each person where they're at and bringing them where they need to be. Thank you, Jesus. So I just acknowledge you right now. Can we just thank the Lord for this past year? Now, I know for some of you, some of it hasn't been good. But all things will work together for the good. To those who love God and are his called ones. And you are his called ones, and I know you love God. And he knows how to make these things work together for the good. So he can take something really horrible and make something a good result. A good ending. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, looking at this, you know, we know Jesus is coming. And I've heard so much more coming from different teachers about the nearness or the closeness of Jesus coming. Some people are referring to it as the rapture, the second coming, the resurrection of the just. You hear more of this now than we did 5-10 years ago. Now, my question was, are we ready for his coming? Are you ready for his coming? To put it more direct, is the Christianity that you have today, right now, at this point here, is it livable? Is it doable? Is it working within your life? Is there change and transformation taking place? Because we have to be able to say yes to all those things. And if we can't say yes to those, God wants to make that a yes in your life. He wants to bring about a yes of this within your life. But there are things that you need to know. Your foundation has to be secure, and your foundation has to be strong. And that's why we go into the different teachings that we have here, so that when an imitation Jesus comes up or a lookalike Jesus comes up, you'll be able to discern, what is of God and what is not of God. Amen? Because there are, even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there'll be many Christs, many anointed ones, many who say that they're anointed, that have gone out into the world, that will go out into the world. And when you have this with inside you, when you have this, you'll be able to discern. No, that's not of God. Yeah, this is of God. Oh, that's kind of God. Ooh, man, they got a little bit of mixture in there. Let me see, Lord, can you help me get them straightened out? Can you use me to help them? See, it's just not enough to relegate it to ourselves. We have to be, we want an inflow, but we want an outflow. Okay? And I really believe that this is going to be the year of engagement. Also, your life engaging other people's lives. For us taking that step of faith, for us being willing, when somebody shares something, for us to open up our mouth and speak as we ought to speak and to share as we ought to share. And and for some of you, it might be, and to be quiet as you need to be quiet. Amen? Okay, let's go over here to John chapter 14. I think it's the first three verses that I want to look at, or I want you to hear. Actually, this is in response. You know, the Bible was not written with chapters and verses, right? So aren't we thankful that somebody categorized the Bible for us? But at times, it can be a disadvantage if we just start with chapter 14, not realizing there's a continuous thought going on here. Jesus talking about leaving and departing, and they couldn't go with him at this present time. And also referring to, you know, talking to Peter about his denial. That's where we'll pick it up. Let's jump back to chapter 13. Let's see here. Any of you know what size font your Bible is? You know, some people have 8 font. Readers make it like a 16. And you know, how many of us have heard the new commandment that Jesus said that he left with us, that you love one another, in verse 34. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, which I have loved you and which you'll be loving other people with, by this all will know you are my disciples if, see the condition there? If you have love one for another. Now, he's talking about, where does it first need to be? Here in the body of Christ. Here with each other. Are we patient with one another? Husbands and wives, are you patient with one another? Are you kind to one another? Are you able to bear long with each other? Are you able to put up with each other? Are you able to hope all things, believe all things, endure all things? It's got to work here. In other words, he's talking about if it's got to work in you before you can work it or share it with somebody else. So at least it has to be at work within you. Can we all say here today, God's love is at work in me? Okay. Are you perfecting in it?
No.
I'm looking for some heads up and down, maybe. How do you say yes with your head?
Yes.
How do you say no? How do you say, I don't know? Oh, Lord. We can have fun in the house of God, too. Okay, now he's going to speak to Peter. Simon Peter, verse 36, John 13. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake, boldly said. How many of us have made commitments? Lord, I will. Test comes, maybe I won't. Right? It happens. You know what? I think, do you thank God for testing? Do we need to be tested? We need to know where we are at in our walk with God and where we need to be. Right? So thank God for the test. If you fail it, he knows how to instill his word and teaching within you so you don't have to fail it the next time. Amen? Okay, next, let's go on here. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? How many of us have said that? Most assuredly I say to you, and remember he's talking to Peter, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Now remember, no chapters and verses. Jesus is still continuing a thought here. Your Bible should have red letters here if it's a red letter edition, right? So let's just immediately continue reading in chapter 14, verse 1. So we get to listen in to Jesus continuing conversation with Peter. Let not your heart be troubled. See? Peter. This is to Peter right here. Let not your heart be troubled, Peter. Be troubled about what? You're going to deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's talking to Peter. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe also in what I've just said. Wow, that's... You're going to deny me three times. But he goes on and says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, when we think of Jesus' death on the cross, his third day resurrection, and his ascension to the Father, he made complete provision for every one of us when we mess up. Our initial coming to him, our initial salvation in him, but he has made a place for every one of you that no matter how many times you mess up, no matter how many times you fall, there's a place that you can come back to and get it right. Isn't that nice to know? Not just thinking of a dwelling place that we're going to have, as one person said, well, I've got my ranch on, I don't know, Glory Avenue. And he talks about, you know, the antlers on, you know, over the fireplace. And I'm sitting there going, where do people get some of this stuff? In order to get antlers over the fireplace, something's got to be killed in heaven to get those antlers there. So is there going to be slaughtering of animals in heaven? Some people, that they say when they have these heavenly experiences, when they walk on the grass, how the blades of grass are crushed. And the moment they lift up their foot, they return to original glory and beauty. Just immediately restored. So you can't really break or crush anything. They just stay. So in order to have a fireplace, that means we're going to go down, cut down some trees there in heaven and burn them? How can that be if they just get restored immediately to natural beauty? I mean, see, doesn't your carnal mind try to get in there and try to figure out some of this stuff? But let's take it back in context. Let's take it back in Jesus' conversation with Peter. About Peter saying, I'll lay down my life. And Jesus said, whoa, not so fast, Peter. Not so fast. You're going to deny me. But I want you to know that I'm going to go make a provision. I'm going to make a place that you can always come back to. See, Jesus' sacrifice was one sacrifice for all. And he made a place. Yes, we know that we die. Okay, let's just talk about heaven. How many of us have witnessed to people and told them that when you die, when you receive Jesus, you're going to die and go to heaven and be with him forever. How long is our stay in heaven when you think about it? If you know what the Word of God has to say, and if you know the teachings of God's Word, when Jesus Christ comes back again, he sets up a reign here on earth, not in heaven. The millennial reign of Jesus on earth. And we rule and reign with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years. It doesn't mean we're not going to go back and forth. Possibly. Right? But we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So don't witness that you're going to be in heaven forever. Well, wait a second. After the 1,000 years, Satan's released for a little while. Right? Because those that are remaining on the earth, they have to go through a time of testing. And it says not everybody remains faithful to God. And they come against the city of God, and fire comes from heaven and consumes them. The devil is then, thrown into the lake of fire, right? And then the great white throne judgment happens. Wait a second. Revelation 21, heaven comes to earth. The New Jerusalem comes here. So let's kind of get our theology a little bit turned around here. When we're speaking and witnessing to people, the key, the goal, is for someone to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, to allow Holy Spirit. My job, your job, our job is only to share the good news. I can't get anybody saved. You can't get anybody saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But he has to have the good news through your lips to work with, okay, in somebody's life. It says, we plant, another waters, but where does the increase come from? From God. So let's trust God for the increase. But let's be the willing vessels that are willing to plant. And if somebody else has planted in that person's life the truth of the Word of God, let us be also the willing vessel to come along in water. And you may be even the vessel that God uses to pray with that person as the Holy Spirit convicts them. It's so beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Whether a person comes to the Lord the first time and you happen to be the privileged one to pray with them as their life is immediately transformed before your eyes. They go from darkness to light, from Satan into the kingdom of God, from a sinner to a saint, from an unregenerate person to becoming a child of God. It's such a wonderful privilege. And yet at the same time, I sometimes see a backslider. A person who's walked away from Jesus, it's almost like them experiencing a whole nother birth again. When a person realizes that they have gone so far from Jesus, and when they return, it is just so beautiful, so gorgeous what God does. God loves a backslider because he wants them back home. Remember the word backslide? They had to be with him at one time in order to slide away or back from a relationship and fellowship with God. Amen? So how many of you here have had children? And when your child goes astray or slips away, backslides from you, don't you desire to have that relationship restored and that fellowship restored? So it's really the Father's heart within us. Amen? We have to be careful that we don't become legalistic. Oh, they get what they deserve. You know? No, yes, they're going to eat the fruit of their labors, but we don't have to be excited about it. Huh? We want the squeeze to come on them for them to realize, I'm in the pig pen. I'm in the pig pen, and I don't like living here. It was a whole lot better in Father's house. Amen? That they would come to that understanding. Now, if they have to go to the pig pen for a little while, anybody here last Sunday see Mr. Delgado? Robert Delgado? He's a homeless man. I've known him for about 10 years. He comes in and out. It's horrible to see what alcohol and drugs does to a person. But the seed of Jesus Christ has been planted within his heart so many years ago. And he just feels comfortable coming here when he's drawing near back to God. because we're not going to give him the right foot of fellowship. We're going to minister to him. We're going to love him. And we're going to bring him as far along as he can come along. And you know one of the reasons why he came, when he first came to the church here last week, he goes, I'm not coming, pastor, to ask for money. He goes, I could use it, but I'm not asking for it. And I said, well, Robert, what's going on? He goes, I'm coming to the end of my rope. I'm coming to the end of myself. I just can't do this anymore. I'm living outside behind a temporary service. The owner of the temporary service likes me and gives me some of the best jobs, but I sleep outside on a cement slab because the owner lets him stay there because he likes him. He says, I make $69 a day. He goes, I work, but most of it's gone that same day. Food, personal items, and that which gets a person drunk or high. And it's gone. And every day the cycle, every day the cycle, every day the cycle. And we prayed that the cycle be broken. He already had received a ticket, a bus fare to return to New York. He has some family members there that he's going to be seeing. And hopefully they're going to be helping him get a new start on life. He felt he needed to break the cycle of him being here in Florida and some of the old hangouts and some of the old people and to get a fresh start. And he was supposed to have left this past Thursday. So when you think about Robert, lift him up in prayer. You know, like, oh, Lord God, let this time that your word within his life, your truth that has come to him, become a living reality each and every day, lived out, walked out, looking to you, and then one day becomes 2 days, and 2 days become a week, and a week becomes a month, and a month becomes a year. Amen? So when you think of Roberts, you may have a Robert you know. You know, just be sensitive. Be sensitive to the one around you. At times, especially when you're in ministry, and especially in a neighborhood like this, there's a lot of people that come around. A lot of people that come around. A lot of people that knock on the door. And a lot of people know, you know, they know a scripture, and they'll actually quote it. You have to give because I'm asking. You know, they just come out and say things like that. I have to be sensitive, and Christine and Denise or whoever it is that answers the door, we have to be sensitive as to that need. What is our part in helping? Or is it just a con again? And we're just going to minister the word of God, and we're going to give them what they need instead of give them what they want. And there's a divine balance there. You have to be really sensitive because it can happen over and over again, and you can end up becoming callous if you don't get quiet or if you don't listen to God each time. Amen? And so we don't want callousness to develop, do we? But we want a person to be set free. If this is the moment, Lord God, then let them be set free this moment. There's a truth that liberates every captive. And I'm sure everyone in here today can remember a time when you were captive at some area in your life and Jesus liberated you. And if you haven't experienced that, you can experience today. Amen? And so, you know, looking at this right here, and Jesus' response to Peter about going to prepare a place for you. And see, Jesus did want Peter to know that there would be a place, and there would be a place that he would have with Jesus in eternity, and to dwell and to be with Jesus forever. Not just on the short-term failure that he was going to have, but there's so much more to this life than our failures, and even our failures against the Lord, for they can be repented of, and we can be restored, because we've got the bigger picture in mind, to be one with him and to dwell with him forever. Amen? And he goes on here to say, and if I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Two things here. Two things. We all believe in the return of Jesus Christ for the church, do we not? Whether the term it's used, rapture, second coming, the catching away of the church, the resurrection of the just, he's going to come for us. Now, what I just said is the corporate gathering. Those of us left here on earth when Jesus Christ comes for his church. But there's also the individual gathering before that. And we don't know when that is. Are we ready today? Are you ready right now? I think even Frank said it, that if Jesus was to come, if I was to breathe my last breath, am I ready at this moment? And we should be able to say, yes, I am ready at this moment. But if there's still some unresolved things within your life, I'm not talking about areas that you have to overcome. If you have, if you took communion today and you resolve those things when you took communion, you're clean before the Lord right now. You have to know, see, this is a walk of faith. And when I take communion, I'm down here, I am examining myself, and I'm saying, Lord God, I just thank you for you are my bread of life. And I'm partaking of you right now in remembrance of what you did for me. And if anything comes to mind, I'll go ahead and repent of it. I'll go ahead and ask him to forgive me of it. The moment, see, every one of you here today, all of you that partook of communion, some would call it rapture ready right now. Catching away ready. Amen? Amen? Okay, we should be that ready. I'm ready. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm glad I got a hallelujah. But also, do you want to be where Jesus is? Do you want to be involved in what Jesus is doing? You know, Jesus is at work here on the earth. He's at work in you. So we want to be ready for his individual coming for us or the corporate gathering, okay? But there is also a place in which he wants us to occupy. That's why I love so much when you put the teachings of the Apostle Paul together with the Gospels, you get a clear picture. And you can get a clear picture of what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we have a seat with him in heavenly places. So we could actually say we are already welcomed in his presence right now. It's just that we're going to step through this veil of our flesh the moment we die and see the place that we've been occupying in the Spirit. Wow, pretty cool, huh? So there is a place, a fellowship that you can know with him now, and it can become dearer and sweeter in this life. You've heard me say recently, precept, principle, and person. Precept, principle, and person. Precept is, we know what the Word of God says. We can read it right there, okay? Principle is, you're thinking on it enough to begin having it work within your life. You're getting some understanding of it. You're understanding, let's say, like pray without ceasing, what that means, what that communication means with the Lord. And you're starting to understand what God's word is, and it's applicable to you. You're understanding it. You're applying it to your life. And that's, you heard me say last week or the week before, that's where most people stop their walk with God, is knowing what the word says, understanding what the word says, and it beginning functioning within their life. But it also needs to bring you to the person. It needs to bring you into a greater relationship, a greater fellowship, a greater union with the Lord. The ability, as I said today in intercessory prayer, when the Lord speaks to me or reveals something to me, it's usually not like in a dialogue conversation. Though I do have dialogue conversations with him, it's like when I get the answer, it's like, let's say it was a paragraph answer. It's like right there. It's like all just put there at once, and I get to go over it. It's like I didn't know, now I know. And it just, it's not like, okay, Mark, sit down. Now, there are times that, you know, I do sense something like that. But it's like I already have all that he wants to share, all that he wants to speak to me immediately. And so sometimes you'll say, well, how does the Lord speak to you? And you'll hear somebody say, well, I just know. Well, he just placed it right in you. Is that pretty neat? Because we try in our finite mind, try to figure some of this stuff out. And God wants us to, we want to figure things out. We want to understand the ins and outs of everything. And you're going to realize that our journey is a journey of faith. It's a faith walk. All of a sudden, you could be a passage that you have looked at for so many years or maybe just a few months and you're still not getting it. All of a sudden, oh, I see. I understand. Well, wait a second. That was just a nanosecond. That was just, woo. All of a sudden, it was just like everything. All of a sudden, you know. And then 3 months later, guess what else I see? You know? And we should be sometimes like little children, hoo-hoo, instead of hoo-hoo. I'm going to read the word today. Oh, I get to read the word today. I get to fellowship with God. I get to expect the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of himself. Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I expect the spirit of revelation. I expect the spirit of wisdom. I expect to receive and to have as he is. I just expect that. It says, put up the very last verse, 1 Corinthians 2, 16. The very last part of that verse. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. Oh, thank you, Lord God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Anybody here think you can tell God a few things? I'm sure some of you have tried. Especially when things aren't going good or, where are you? Why is this happening? I'm so glad he's long-suffering. When we act stupidly. Okay, thank you. Some of you may not want to receive that, but I'll let the Lord deal with you on that. That we may instruct him. Sit down, Lord. I want to teach you a few things. Have you ever thought something like that? Lord, you just don't understand what I'm going through here right now. You mind having a seat and let me... He'll have a seat and he'll listen. Not that you're going to instruct him. He just knows. He's patient. He'll listen. Okay? But what is it we have? What do we have available to us? Okay, is there anything that God doesn't know? I think our minds would blow up if he just like revealed his whole mind and heart to us. How much does science say now? They've kind of changed it over the years. How much of our brain or our mind do we use? Some say less than 10%. Some say about 6%. Some go up to 12%. Some of these brainiacs go up to 12% now. And some say, well, the rest is reserved for the mind of Christ. Well, I've got the mind of Christ. It's spiritual. And anything that God wants me to know or reveal to me or teach me is available to me now. Available to you now. I have the mind of Christ. Can you say, I have the mind of Christ? Now, once again, you'll notice when the Apostle Paul writes something like this, I believe he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do you agree? He didn't say the mind of Jesus. He didn't say the mind of the Lord Jesus. He said the mind of Christ. There has to be a dependence upon what he's saying and the connection of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' teaching in John 14, 15, and 16, that he's the Spirit of truth and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. Because the mind of Christ refers to Messiah, but it also refers to the Anointed One and the anointing of that Anointed One. So we want the mind of Christ with the spiritual anointing or wisdom and understanding that goes with it so it functions and works within our lives. What good is having the mind of Christ if it's just information? You want the very life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit to have it function in you and through you. Amen? Is that wonderful? What good is being able to be a Bible dictionary? Hey, where's this verb? Where's that verb? Where's that verb? You know, pride can come in there. Right? Today I was trying to... You ever done that? Because I love reading the Word, and sometimes Scriptures just come to me like this one. I was like, oh, Lord, where's that verse? That's not it. Oh, that's not it. God has a way for each of us to eat humble pie. Lord, I know you want me to read this verse. Search web for, and I'll say the portion of the verse, and it comes out. Yeah. Got to be careful, like I said. Don't come too attached to these things. You know, some people talk about an EMP coming, an electromagnetic pulse. You know, it might send us back 50 to 100 years, but it may be good for a whole lot of us. Except for people that have pacemakers and stuff, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there is a going to be with Jesus, which we're looking forward to, right? But there is also a place that we can occupy while still in this body and be with Jesus. So it speaks of two things here. Are you ready? Am I ready for Jesus coming? Individually, corporately, and to us right now. For him, the ongoing fellowship. Can we hear? Are we wanting to be instructed by him in our individual lives? Are there more things that he wants to teach us? So these teachings, we get an understanding of what the word says. It starts changing our lives, but it draws us closer to him in person. Amen? You know, it's just wonderful after this next year, Christine and I will have been married 40 years. And it's almost like she'll get ready to say something and I'll know what she's getting ready to say. And sometimes it's kind of scary. You know, I'm just like, you know, honey, I was just getting ready to ask you about that. And she goes, how cool is that? It's like a oneness. It's like a oneness. So why can't that be with you and your relationship and walk with Jesus? Amen? So I think he gives us tastes in relationships with each other of how much greater it can be in our walk with God. Amen? I'm not going off in woo-woo land here. Now, there's a question that Jesus asks, and that's why, you know, a couple months ago, I began a study on 1 Timothy 6:12 about the good fight of faith. And it seems like that the Lord is still working in that area because of the question that he asks in Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. Is it warm in here or is it just me? Okay. We got a lukewarm multitude here. It's you, it's me, it's okay, it's not okay. No, you're not lukewarm. You're just for sure in your answer, right? I was waiting for someone to say, I'm not lukewarm. Amen. Who said that? Pauline. Hey, all right, sister. At least I know I'm hot. Okay. It says, look here, Luke 18, 8. I tell you, you know, speaking of this unjust judge and this widow going before this unjust judge and just bombarding, just come, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And he got so tired. He goes, I don't respect God. I don't respect man. But because of this woman coming to me, she's wearing me out. I'm going to give her what she wants. And God is not like that. But I believe what the Lord is trying to teach us here. Number one, when you read verse one, he gives us almost the answer to this parable. Jesus spoke a parable to them that people ought always to pray and what? Not lose heart. In other words, we should be keeping up that constant communication with the Lord. We should be talking to him, running things through him, asking him. The more you ask, the more answers you get. You know, I'm amazed at times when people come in and they want to meet with me and their life isn't going very well. One of the first questions I ask, number one, I said, how much are you getting in the Word? Yeah. Very little or none at all. Number two, how much are you praying? Well, why should I be praying when everything's going? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, got the answer, thank you. And then, well, usually before that, when I ask, how much are you praying in the Spirit? We really believe being baptized in the Holy Spirit is essential in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's gone. I mean, it's just amazing the things that go. And the last part here, they've lost heart. They've lost heart. They've given up. They've departed. You could almost call it they're in a place of unbelief. They're in a place of unbelief. To lose heart is to have an unbelief toward God, because to lose heart is to give up. It says, what does it use there in the King James Version? Faint. To faint. Huh. You know, it's like you had a rope and now it's cut. And you're just kind of like laying there. And as believers in Jesus, put up verse 8 now, Laura. Thank you. Now, Laura's all wrapped up back there. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, what's the question? Shall he find faith where? Okay, so what do you think is that you're always being attacked with? Your faith and your belief in who God is, what the Word of God has to say. Somehow, some way, you're always being attacked to disbelieve in God, disbelieve in His Word, to compromise it, to water it down. There's always something attacking you from the world, your carnal mind, Satan, to get you to a place of disbelieving something about God or about your place in Him or what the Word has to say. Well, that might be fine for you, but it's not. Do we find ourselves saying sometimes that? Do we find ourselves reading the Word of God and quietly thinking, because we don't dare let anybody know, this doesn't work. It's not working to me. But what will people think if I was to say that out of my mouth? Sometimes we need to get that spoken out of our mouth, get it spoken in the air so we can get the remedy that God has for us to become vulnerable at times to people we can trust in the body of Christ. Did you hear what I said? People we can trust in the body of Christ who won't take that information and use it against us. So God can give you a person that you can share something. I'm really having a hard time in this area. And go ahead and say that. And go ahead and speak that. And hopefully that person, this is the way, walk in it. And be there for you and to begin bit by bit, bite by bite, truth by truth, begin shoring you up in that area. One of the scriptures that I read today during intercessory prayer was from Ezekiel chapter 13, where the Lord, through Ezekiel, was rebuking the false prophets of Israel. Rebuking the false prophets of Israel. Because, you know, they're getting ready to go and experience some captivity, and these prophets are saying, peace, peace. And he says, what you're saying is like a person building a wall and just putting up bricks with mud on it that doesn't have any mortar mixed in it and covering it with white paint so it looks like a nice strong wall, and if you just come up and lean on it, it's going to fall. There's no strength to what you're saying. There's no validity to what you're saying. It all sounds good, but it's all going to tumble over and fall. Ezekiel 13:3, let's try that. It's in a negative way here, but if we look at it the way that God wants us to see it, I think it's, you can put in there, E-K-E 13. Okay. Go to the next verse. That's good too. Go to the next verse. We'll get there, folks. Okay, this is it. He's talking about these prophets, and this is what they weren't doing. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. How many people are having a hard time standing right now that you know? He doesn't want you just giving them some platitudes, just pats on the back. He doesn't want you just to throw some things together to where it sounds good and looks good. And after you leave, that person's like, what'd they just say? How does that work? How does that function in my life? He first wants you to be a people of prayer. And if the Lord shows you someone who's struggling in their walk with Him, He wants you. This is the picture I got in intercessory prayer. The enemy coming up to attack a person. But this enemy coming up and seeing this solid, strong, fortified fortress in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he doesn't see is the one believer that is struggling, and there are gaps in his life, there are struggles in his life. All he sees from a distance is a solid... You two come up here. Come up here. It'd be better if I can say it like this. Okay? Okay, Bill, you stand here. Darlene, you come over here. And right here. And there is a person who we can't see. They're struggling. They have fallen. But when the enemy's coming up, He just sees a nice, white, righteous, white referring to the righteousness of God, stand that these believers have, because there's another believer that's in front, and to the devil it looks like one solid front, one standing in the gap, one making up a hedge, one able to stand on behalf of that person while they're down. They're being taught, they're being instructed, line upon line, precept upon precept, the word of God getting built up within their life so they can be here, so this person can go and be used somewhere else, and that person can come up and take their place. And so a lot of times the devil sees, he just sees a solid front. He doesn't see the one that a person's standing the gap for, the one that somebody's making a hedge for. And Ezekiel was saying, you guys, what you're doing, it looks like a solid front. It's plastered there, and the bricks are there. When it's pushed against, it will fall. He pushed against us. We're going to push back. When we submit ourselves to God, it says we are able to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Push and expect to be fled. Amen. Expect that devil to go. Amen. So when God shows you something about someone, it's not for gossip, it's for gospel. It's for you to stand in the gap, it's for you to speak the word and pray the word. And then, thank you, Frank. And then, are you the one that God wants to use to start building and speaking these truths into their life? You see, it may be you may be the intercessor, and God may have somebody else as a teacher, as a builder, as an instructor. But we want to make sure we're hearing what God has to say. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear to build them up in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Your faith and my faith is under attack. Let me make it more specific. Your faith in God, your faith in God's word is under attack. You know, even yesterday in the wedding vows, when at one part I said, one man, one woman, united together under God or with God. I felt a resistance. I was able to look out and see, you know, because there were visitors here, and just kind of like look, you know, whatever that face represented. Oh, one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm a Genesis man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He formed, he made Adam out of the dust of the earth. He opened up his side, took a rib out, sewed it back up, formed woman, took that woman, presented her to Adam. He went, whoa, man, no, woman. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's it, folks. That's it. That's the only thing acceptable before God. And I believe that God wants me to say those kinds of things during a time of a wedding ceremony, because it's a spiritual thing that's happening. And if it causes one person's eyes to be opened to the truth of God's original design for people and can come only into relationship and eternity with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I just, Lord God, help me say it in a way that's pleasing to you, but it's penetrating to the heart. Amen? And they know it's coming from a heart, your fatherly heart of love. Amen? Because don't we want people redeemed? So I believe that at times like that, God uses a very wonderful, godly coming together to minister to the people that are present. And we want that to happen for them. Did you hear what he said? Can you imagine some of the conversations in the car on the way home, or maybe just to themselves? You know, my parents or grandparents once believed that. Man, we live in a different world now, don't we? But did you hear what that guy said? I mean, he still believes that. Yeah. See, God can witness. God can take that truth and witness it to them. Amen? So that's why we have to be vocal. We have to be vocal in the way that as Jesus would be. Amen? So we're to be a people of prayer. We're to be a people that is constant, that is fervent, that we don't give up. that we find ourselves being pushed or even kicked down or even walked on. That's not the end, folks. If there's still life in your body, God can resurrect you. God can restore you. God can lift you up. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yes. Because I believe that in this day, in these final days that we're here left on this earth, that God wants every one of your faith fortified. And so I want to make sure that you have a full understanding, because in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, that is one of our passages here at CSC, because we believe that teachers, and we believe that pastors and evangelists and the apostle and the prophet are placed in the body of Christ for the what? For the what? Okay, come on, go ahead and say it. Okay, put it up. I want you to put it up so we just say it right. Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, maturing, growing up. It's time to grow up, folks. For the perfecting of the saints, for what? For the work of ministry. All of you and me coming together with Jesus. And the work that he has for us. For the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. So God is wanting you to be what? To grow you up spiritually. And I really believe that this next year is going to be part of a growing time. It's going to be time of a shoring up your faith time. It's going to be a time where we come together into the unity of the faith. Oneness of the faith. Knowing that if what's coming out of your mouth is coming out of Karen's mouth, is coming out of our mouth. And for people not to be jarbled up and confused about things. That if we got a question about something in God's Word, as you've heard me say before, God wants to make questions into exclamation marks. He wants to take that and go whoosh, and just straighten it up so it's nice and firm within your life. Amen? And so God wants to answer your questions. So if you're in question, what's another word? You're in doubt. Okay? He wants you to be firm and secure, or in faith. Believing. In faith, believing. Why do you think the Apostle Paul, when he wrote in Romans chapter 14, one of you say that we're only supposed to worship God one day a week. Others say we're to worship God every day. One of you say, I'm only eating vegetables. One of you say, ha ha, I want a nice rare steak today. He wants everybody to be fully persuaded in what you believe. In other words, if you're in a position of faith, he can speak to you. He can bring balance into your life. He can show you why that one person is lifting up one day above every day. Or showing that person that I had an opportunity, I've had many Seventh-day Adventists cross my path. And sitting down, I remember Armando Lopez, one of the strongest, ardent Seventh-day Adventists I've ever known. And he's like, you're in sin, Mark. I go, oh my gosh, am I really, Armando? Yes. You don't honor the Sabbath like I honor the Sabbath. And I thought, I said, Lord, you're going to show me how to minister to him. I said, Armando, what if you could live every day? I said, I know we need a day of rest. I said, but what if you could live every day in the rest of God? He goes, that's impossible. That's why he only told us to do it one day, because we can't do it 7 days a week. He goes, there's no way possible for a human being to live wholly to the Lord 7 days a week, so only requires us to do it one day a week. That's how he looked at the Sabbath, to keep it holy before him. I said, no, Armando, every day. Every day I rest in him. I said, you need to take time and read Hebrews chapter 4 about entering into his rest, that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And see, he takes it from law to a higher level. To a higher level. That every day we're in the rest of God. Every day we walk in union with God. Every day we can live holy before God. Every day. Well, it started jumbling some of his thinking. He went back to his deacons and he went back to his elders and his pastor. And he said, get off his shift and get the day shift. He's messing with your head. Okay? Long story short, his wife was having some sort of asthmatic attack. She had to be taken to the emergency room. This is when I was living in Puerto Rico. She had to be taken to the emergency room. He was transferred to first shift because the truth was really making him look at his Seventh-day Adventism and question it. So he wasn't like in a position of faith. The phone rings as I'm working there. It's Armando in the emergency room. I said, "Yes, Armando, what's up? What's the matter?" "Oh, I brought my wife down here. They have her in a room." Now you have to remember that some hospitals in Puerto Rico, some of the doctors believe in witchcraft, self-hypnosis. They put her in a dark room because they said she's making all of this up in her head, and they were trying to hypnotize her. He goes, "They're trying to hypnotize her. They're trying to get her to say it's all in her head, that she doesn't have this asthmatic attack." And I said, "We're going to pray right now." Before that, I said, "Did you call your pastor?" He goes, "No." "Any of the elders or deacons?" "No." I said, "Why are you calling me?" "Because they don't believe like you believe. I believe that when you pray, we're going to get an answer here right now." We prayed, she calmed down, and he took her out of the hospital. You see, that's the influence we're supposed to have on people's lives. To be able to willing to sit down and to not debate the word, but to share the word and believe that the full truth, not partial truth, the full truth, the full counsel of God will come out and liberate a captive soul. Amen? And so God shows us how to minister. I was a non-meat eater, and most of you know, for 5 years here. Wow, 5 years. Man, it was called the Hallelujah Diet. After 5 years, Christine and I went to a salad bar. Steak and Ale was the name of the restaurant. And I looked down, and they had a special that day for salmon and one for chicken. And I looked at Christine, she looked at me, and guess what we said? "Hallelujah, let's order it." God brought a balance back into our life. He did that for us. He brought balance back in. And so God has sometimes people in seasons. Do not condemn a person if they're in a season of change. Walk with them through it. Maybe even learn something from them through that season that they're going through that you can apply to your life. But just don't become law and judgmental to them as they're walking through their season, okay? I was in it for 5 years. But then the Lord, it was like, "Man, I found the Hallelujah Diet." Hallelujah, let's eat. Do you believe that God wants you to be in a place? If it says that the reason for this parable, the very end of it, in the New King James Version, was not to lose heart. In the King James Version, it says to faint. Indicating people do. But we don't have to. Because it says that we can come to a place of not losing heart, or fainting, or giving up, or throwing in the towel. "I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I can't understand why God is expecting this of me." All the different things that come out of our mouth or in our thinking as to why I can't live this Christian life. Instead of becoming people of faith in what God's Word has to say and what His Word is speaking to us and accepting that is our present reality, and then that truth changes you. Because God isn't going to share something or speak something in His Word that is not livable, acceptable, transformable within your life. And you have to realize that. He's Father, and Father knows best. You have to be able to take Him at His Word and know that everything that's contained in there is for your own benefit and your own spiritual growth, that you may know Him, that you may fellowship with Him. Amen? And so I just wanted to end this year with an understanding. We're going to start this next year in a building time. And so that every one of you are understanding what the Word of God has to say. Not just knowing it, understanding it. And that understanding is causing you to grow closer to your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Because I do know that there's some that are fainting. They're lacking. They have questions. And God wants to come in and shore it up. Amen? And so we're going to have some shoring up teachings. And so that when you're taught it, now listen, let's go one step further. I want to go one step further. That you're going to be able to take it and share it with somebody else. If it's not transferable, then where are we going? When you learn something, I want you to say, "Lord God, you've taught me to transform me. Now use me to help somebody else's life get transformed. Take it to the next step. Put yourself in that prayer. Put yourself there. Yes, Lord God, I need this. And if I need it, somebody else needs it. Put them across my path. Be a willing vessel to be used of the Lord. And then to believe that they themselves, after they hear it and are taught it, they'll give it to somebody else. Have the picture, have the vision of going on and on and on and on. Not just to you and dead with you. But expect. If you're taught something, if something has impacted your life, wow, Lord, you're going to put somebody across my path because you don't want it to stop here. You want it to progress. You want it to go on. Each of you, I look at you, you're all different. Do you know that? You know? I mean, look at my brother's hair over there. My hair's not like that. Look how young he is. I'm going to be 60 next year. What? 60. He has people that only he can influence and reach. I have people that I'm going to influence and reach. You have people that you're going to only be able to influence and reach. But if we're button-lipped, then where's it going to go? Right? Time to pop the button. Yeah? Amen? Now, having said that, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he said for him to do the work of an evangelist. He wasn't called an evangelist. He was called to teach those that are able to receive the word and then look for others who can receive it also. So Timothy was basically a teacher. But he said, you also are called to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, taking use of the opportunities of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy, but don't neglect this here. Don't neglect this aspect. We are all gospel-teers. All for one and one for all, right? We all have the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we have the ability to share that and slay the sin in their life so Jesus Christ can come in. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I must have saw the Musketeers recently or something. Lord Jesus, oh, wow. Father, I do thank you for the ending of this year, the closing of this year. As I witnessed yesterday, it was like a picture you gave me of Eric and Tiffany's wedding, Lord. She was going her way, and he was going his way, and you brought them together, and then you unified them yesterday in a spiritual wedding ceremony, Lord God. That not only did they say their vows to each other and put rings on each other's fingers, but the spiritual joining of the laying on of hands by Holy Spirit. And then taking communion, Lord God, knowing why they were brought together and who brought them together and how their marriage can always stay together through the one that they had communion with. And that us, Lord God, there's so many of us that are individual in so many ways. Whether we're self-made or we pick up ourselves by the bootstraps, I don't need anybody. I can do it alone. And we're coming to a place of realizing we can't walk this walk alone. We can't do this alone. You've called us into a body. You've called us into a fellowship. You've called us to become one with you and one with each other, Lord God. As you said, Jesus, that the world is going to know you through the love we demonstrate to one another. And so I thank you, Father, that it first must begin with us as individuals, but then us collectively coming together as the body of Christ. And then you using our lives, Lord God, to reach others for you, to become part, to become children, your children, for children to be returning home to you, Lord. Oh, Father, how we desire this so much. And so we want to leave the life of individualism, Lord God, and join into a life of deeper union with you, Lord, and with each other. Yes, and at times it requires us to become vulnerable. And at times we may share some information with somebody else that doesn't quite know what to do with it, and we'll learn from that, Lord God. We'll learn what it means to be hurt, but we'll also learn what it means to be healed. We're going to learn the spiritual container that each person is, and you're going to show us, Lord God, each person's spiritual capacity of what we can share with them and what we can't share with them. You're going to give us more eyes to see, Lord God, what's going on in people's lives, that you're showing us things not to point them out, but to build up a hedge, to fill in the gap, to be first that intercessor for that person and to stand in for them. And whether you use us or use somebody else, Lord God, to help form the truth of yourself and of your word in that place within that person's life, Lord, that we would be that willing vessel also, that we don't have to know everything to build somebody up. As one man said, I just need to be one page ahead of somebody in order to help somebody. Just know just a little bit more than they do to build them up. Father, let us make sure that we just aren't a people that have to continue just getting more and more and more and more knowledge and not doing anything with it. But we want the formation of spiritual truth within us that transforms our lives and our thinking, our behavior and our words, and causes us to become more one with you and each other for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, some of these things, you know, we're going to be learning this year. You're going to need it. Because there's many false Christs that are in the world right now. And you have to know the truth to set them free and to keep yourself free. Amen.